All right. Everyone, and welcome to Ring Respect Radio right here on the Video Bros Network. And for the first time, both myself and Papa Smokes on the screen in a long time. We figured out technology finally, Papa Smokes. Here we are. So anyway, we're going to get right down into it. Enjoy this. I mean, now we get to put a face behind the voice there for Papa Smokes. It's wonderful.
I don't know if it's so wonderful, but you can see it anyway.
Yeah, there we go. So anyway, let's get started. Ring Respect Radio right here on the Video Bros Network. First time we're doing the Zoom thing. It's great. But before we get started here, we're going to ask you to go ahead, click the subscribe button down below, turn on notifications so you know anytime we have new content right here on the Video Bros Network. So getting right into things with Ring Respect Radio here today. First, a quick shout out to our brothers over in Alberta. Our Backbreaker Media brothers out there, they've been doing wonderful things. And Mike's put together this nice little video package here promoting not only us, but also all the other podcasts that are under the Backbreaker Media label. So here we go. We're going to play that for you guys right now. And there it is. Well put together by our good buddy Mike. And awesome. I hate me. Ring Respect coming up first on the video. We got a little respect there, Pop Smokes. Wonderful.
All right. What a plug.
So anyway, we're going to get down to it. We're going to talk about MLW Fusion again here today. We're doing our recap review. It's MLW Fusion 125, going to the buildup of Never Say Never. At the time of recording, of course, we are a little bit behind. Never Say Never did take place, and you and I have both caught up and seen. We're going to get to all of that through the next few episodes here of Ring Respect Radio. Probably drop another triple threat on people one of these weekends like we did just recently. That was a lot of fun as it was. So MLW Fusion, episode 125, Pop Smokes. This one got started off hot and heavy. We had a main event tag match scheduled for the main event in the evening. And before anything can even get started, the night starts off with a brawl in the parking lot. We got Injustice, we got Contra, and we've also got the boys in Los Parks out there just brawling it out.
Definitely sounds like an MLW Fusion episode with everybody brawling in the parking lot beforehand.
Yeah, sure is. And I like thought the comment was made halfway through, though. The cops are on the way. It's good. Yeah. A little bit of fun that they had to kick that off. And hey, it wasn't too long a segment. Didn't bog things down or anything. Just really kickstarted the night and puts our main event of the evening in question now at this point. What's going to end up happening? Because we'll have to wait and see. So here we go from there, starting off the night with the MLW middleweight championship match. We know the open contract was going to be taken by somebody. It said somebody was taking this opportunity to face Lio Rush. Who was it going to be? And it's Brian Pillman Jr., Papa Smokes. I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it looks like he's still doing shots, finishing stuff up in MLW before he goes to AEW permanently, I suppose. And, well, this is a nice match for him, a middleweight championship match against Lio Rush.
Yeah, I mean, I watched this thing. I wasn't sure what I was going to think. I mean, we've said it a few times before when it comes to Brian Pillman Jr. that it's like there's a lot to be said. It's still a lot of work to go for the young man and everything. And watching this one, I kind of am in a weird place. I think this is the best Brian Pillman Jr. match we've seen in a while. And yet my least favorite, Lio Rush, and neither of those being a negative towards either guy. The match actually wasn't a bad match in the end.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, too. We've watched Brian Pillman Jr. over the past 2 years or so in MLW, and it seemed like he needed a lot of work before the whole COVID shutdown thing. But since then, I think we both agreed that it looks like he's coming along nicely. He's obviously putting some reps in, putting some work and matches in with trainer and that kind of thing. And yeah, I think he's looking a lot more comfortable in the ring. And this match was a good example of that.
Yeah, he really played it up. A lot of great ground grappling and stuff like that that went on here, especially from Brian Pillman Jr. And then again, a lot of the spots that Lio does, some of the things I like, some of these like low end spin kicks that he ends up doing and stuff like that when his opponent's low to the ground, or when Brian Pillman was actually challenging him to come in with the shoulder tackle and beat Lio being as small as he is. He starts bouncing off the ropes and he does that where he runs in and then he jumps to the other rope real quick to kind of psych his opponent out a little bit, maybe build a little extra momentum. Thought that was a fun spot. I really liked seeing that too.
Yeah, one of the things that struck me about this match too is Lio Rush and that motor mouth of his. Boy, he was talking some trash at the beginning of this match and all the way through. You could see that it sowed some bad seeds too. You could see the match started to break down a little bit with some strikes and some slaps and some malice to all those moves that they were doing. So Leo Rush continuing with his bread and butter being his mouth that he can run all the time. It works. It ups the ante in a match and makes it more personal between the two.
Yeah, it's starting to become a very effective run for him with the championship, as well as that AAA Cruiserweight Championship as well, too. I mean, he's running around with all the gold, undefeated streak so far in MLW since making that debut. Things are looking good for Leo Rush and for the entire middleweight division at this point.
Yeah, they're looking good. And Pillman put in a nice match here, but he was in tough against the champ, Rush. And despite Pillman giving a nice top rope superplex and all that, Rush with that nice bottom rope cutter that he uses, then the frog splash after that, looking good. Had a decent challenger here and put him away in less than 10 minutes. It's a good showing for Leo Rush, and their champ continues to look strong.
Yeah, high energy on the show. We had that great high energy opening right into a high energy match. I mean, we're really kicking ass on this episode of Fusion already. And from there, after that big win, we go straight to some breaking news about that main event, now been changed to a no disqualification triple threat match between Los Parks, Injustice, and Contra. Thoughts on the decision to go this direction?
I'm not really sure. I wonder what happened, if something actually happened to change the booking of this match, aside from the parking lot brawl. But it's going to be a schmozzle and a big mess for a main event, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be interesting. We'll see how that one pans out as we go along here. From there, we had a Hammerstone promo. He was talking about Selena De La Renta, Mil Mortez making the attack on him, taking his never open weight his open weight championship, national open weight championship to be correct, and basically laying it down that Azteca Underground do not own the championship just because they've stolen it from him. That if Mil Mortez actually wants that championship, that he needs to basically, I think the term was, leave his woman behind, dig deep in his pants and find a set of balls and come in and challenge Hammerstone to a match. What a great promo. I was loving it. I mean, the intensity from Hammerstone and the delivery from him, on top of that little touch of comedy, it's good comedy. It's the comedy that fits this type of promo.
He's pretty good on the mic, I think. And Hammerstone is one of those guys, despite his intensely great musculature and his great look and everything, he still strikes me as kind of an everyman. I think that fans can connect with him because he's funny and he's cool and he talks good. And a lot of fans look up to this guy. So what a great babyface champion we have in Alexander Hammerstone. And he's going to want that belt back in a bad way. And all the talk that ownership is 9/10 of the law is not going to help Mil Muertes when Hammerstone gets his hands on him.
Yeah, it's going to be one hell of a fight. Definitely looking forward to Hammerstone and Mil Mortez when it actually happens. I think we're going to be in for, you know, a classic match for MLW in that one. So from there, after that one, we went to another promo. First, I should say that right before this next promo, they did play the advertisement for the Dark Side of the Ring episode that's going to feature the Von Erich family, or did feature the Von Erich family. I haven't had a chance to check that out just yet. Not sure if you have yet, Rob Smokes, but definitely looks like a very interesting episode that we should take in. And then from there, the Von Erich's promo that followed that up, I got to say, man, I said it online and I'll say it again, best Von Erich's promo I've seen. That had the most heart, the most determination. It made sense. It was just passionate and awesome. I love this promo.
Yeah, they've had a few good ones lately, haven't they? I was going to ask you, Munson, which is your favorite Von Erich? Do you like Ross better or do you like Marshall? Because I like Marshall. He's the one that's a little bit on the edge. He's got the temper. He sounds like he's out of control. It sounds like he's ready to attack someone every promo. Which do you like better?
I mean, I do, but they balance each other out very nicely, I got to say. But I'm with you on Marshall. I mean, you can't like Marshall. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's great. And that's no slight against Ross. Ross is great in his own way, too. And I think as a tag team, they balance each other out perfectly. I like them as a group. I think they need to stick to it. This is not one of those situations where let's look forward to when we split these guys apart. I mean, if you want them to do singles runs, great, do it. Don't do a split apart. The Von Erichs need to stick together. They're brothers. Keep it that way. There's no need for it anytime soon. That's for sure.
Yeah. I can't see that happening in the near future, but it would make a hell of an angle at some point.
Yeah. And if you're going to do it, you got to do it at a time when nobody expects it, and total shock, like, you know, the day after they win the tag titles or something. But we're talking down the road. Hopefully no one listens to that and takes that seriously anytime soon. That's for damn sure. But from there, we got another, a little bit from the Azteca Underground. They started talking about Azteca Underground Online, some of the things about the artifacts and the opportunities. You know what, Papa Smokes? I've said it before about Dario Cueto from Lucha Underground, and there is even a spot where one of the commentators makes mention later with Mil Mortez on commentary saying that he was a former Lucha Underground champion. They're starting to make those references. And if you go and look at the Azteca Underground site, the artifacts and everything there just look like the kind of things that Dario Cueto used to bring out on Lucha Underground and say, this particular artifact from the past is what the guys are going to be fighting for. And it brings opportunity, and, you know, winning this medallion would mean you would get to, you know, have a chance at the world championship when you want to, kind of thing. Not like a Money in the Bank situation where you'd actually promote the hell out of the match and stuff, but somebody would actually earn it through winning one of these artifacts. That would be their opportunity that they received from Dario Cueto. I really feel El Jefe is Dario Cueto, and that reveal is coming.
Well, okay. Your guess is sounding better and better than mine sounding worse, but we're going to see who this mysterious El Jefe is at some point. The man with the deep pockets that's got Selena De La Renta basically wrapped around his finger at this point, and we'll also see what happens with that situation, I suppose, too.
Yeah, it should be good. I'm looking forward to it. They've played it up really, really nice. And right after they start going into this, we got a promo from Selena De La Renta, basically talking about the main event, also mentioning about Hammerstone's comments. I mean, she's got her damn hands full right now with everything going on at the moment.
Yeah, and it's good that they're giving her lots to do because she's so good with it. Her young age and the way she can cut a promo and the way she seems to like completely understand the business from the inside out. I think she's really a blue chip stock for MLW. I hope they can hold on to her for a long time because, as you know, she wrestles a little bit too, not in MLW, but she is a trained wrestler too. So I have the feeling at some point she's going to be highly coveted by some bigger companies, but I really hope not for now.
Yeah, and I've also noticed she's also doing work over with SWE, which I saw a couple of episodes of on YouTube as well, SWE Fury, where she's over there doing managing as well. And I believe Mil Mortez might have made an appearance just recently as well over on their show. So a lot of crossover with some of the MLW talent and SWE. SWE, I also noticed, has a lot of older talent from WWE past stuff. I saw Teddy Long come out there and give about a 25-minute promo that I fast-forwarded. I mean, no disrespect to Teddy Long, but man, if you've seen one Teddy Long promo in the last 20 years, you've seen every Teddy Long promo in the last 20 years. It went through all the tropes. I after about 5 minutes, I fast-forwarded to the matches pretty much. So
maybe he was better as a ref. I liked him as a referee in the old days.
Oh, he was fantastic as a referee. Referees just don't get enough respect, in my opinion, these days.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to all the referees out there, including our good friend Ben the Ref, who we miss dearly.
Yeah.
From there, we get the weekly drop, the PWI, mind you, sorry, top 10 list. And here we go. We're going to say all 10 and then give a thought. Number 10, Jordan Oliver making the list. Number 9, Gino Medina making the list this week. Number 8 was Myron Reed. 7, Richard Holiday. 6, Mods Kruger. Number 5, Calvin Tankman. 4 is Mil Mortez. 3, Low Key. 2, Tom Lawler. Number 1 is Hammerstone. And the champ, Jacob Fatu. I really don't see any argument with the list with PWI here at all. It's a solid top 10.
I agree. They usually have it pretty good. The only spots that usually change are kind of like 5 or 6 to 10, and it just depends who's coming in and who's getting their push and such like that. I think Gino Medina entering the top 10 is interesting too. I kind of think this guy's going to make a splash and be good once he gets going. And the belt situation is getting very hot in MLW too. Looking like Fatu's got some tough defenses coming up, as well as Hammerstone's got to get his hands back on his belt. I have the feeling the only way he's going to do it is by actually pinning Mil Muertes or beating him to the point where he can take his belt back with no problem. So looking good in the title situation here too.
Yeah, it's fantastic. A lot of great buildup going on. And, you know, all this, we've only really had one match in the evening of this MLW Fusion. So much to talk about already. But from there, we do finally get that next match. And this is a big boy match if I ever saw one. Perro versus Mil Muertes. Selena at the side of Mil Muertes. And damn it, man, this is a lot of beef inside that ring.
Yeah, I'll say. And they had a few tests of power in this match, too. Checking their strength against each other. I can hardly even imagine that both these guys have to be 300 pounds just about, and massive dudes, and really some beef getting slapped around in that ring. And Perro looking good. He's got some skill in there, and just that size and that look. And we've talked about how much we like Mil Muertes, despite that he's a evil heel and has kind of a supernatural element to him a little bit, but nice stuff. And Perro made a good effort in this match, and this one was under 5 minutes or so, really just kind of a little test for Mil Muertes. He dodged the charge to the corner and hit the straight to hell finisher 1-2-3, and Perro's back to the drawing board. But this was a nice match and did what its intention was, to put Mil Muertes over as a huge, strong heel in this company. And it did just that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And there was the one spot too, when Perro came in and Mil Muertes did that spinning power slam to him, or body slam to him. Man, that's all. Again, Perro is a big man. He's got to be over 300 pounds. And Mil Muertes swinging him around that quickly and that perfectly, I mean, it just looked absolutely awesome. Both men doing a great job, but man, Mil Muertes is just something else. I think this dude is fantastic. Again, I know we're supposed to hate him, and you know, if we're there live, we're going to be booing his ass, but in the meantime, we're on our show. We'll say what we want on here. Love Mil Muertes. His work is fantastic, and the look and everything that they got going on, great storyline. I am glad they're going down this road with Azteca Underground, Selena, and the entire group. It's all good stuff.
And it allows us to see some talent from Mexico that we might know the name or have seen the picture, but haven't seen too many matches, such as a Mil Muertes. And that's always a good thing when you get to see someone that you've never seen before. It just is great for your wrestling knowledge and for your general sense of entertainment, too.
Rolls right into that international flavor we've been speaking so highly about that MLW's been doing. So it's great stuff to see. So awesome work there. Mil Muertes picking up that win. And that's, again, where I mentioned about St. Laurent, the one who says about Mil Muertes being a former Lucha Underground champion. So, again, making reference to a now defunct show while bringing in all this stuff that really seems to relate to what Lucha Underground was and that they did at the time. So I really have a strong feeling we're going to see a lot of that coming in. And I think there's just a lot going on with MLW. I think we're going to see some interesting things unfold, and this whole thing might even lead to another MLW, show, maybe not their show exactly, but maybe Azteca Underground will have their own events, or every once in a while things put together where they will cross talent over from Mexico and from MLW and just get that international flavor going in the Azteca Underground again. So we can't wait to see, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
From there, I believe we went to backstage. Buku Dao then attacked backstage, and I want to say it's in question. It was actually during the match, if I'm not mistaken, that we found out about Buku Dao being attacked backstage. He was laid out. I think nobody's making any assumptions about it. It's obviously TJP that's taken out Buku Dao backstage, playing the heel, kind of weaseling out of the match that he's got scheduled against the young guy. But again, as fans, great for us, because now they're prolonging what has been a surprisingly good build between two guys that I wasn't sure I would care about whether we saw a match between them at first, but they've made me care. And that's what I love about this.
Yeah. And I think too, introduce Buku Dao. They had him and his mentor, so to speak, TJP, as a tag team. But I don't think MLW had any real plan to use them as a tag team, or evidently they didn't anyway, because they only had a couple tag matches, and now they're split up with the suggestion of bullying being over TJP's head. And of course, this backstage attack won't fix that any, but yeah, like you say, at least we're getting a build up to their match. And yeah, if they are student and master, they will probably be able to put on a pretty darn good match.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be great. And I'm glad they're, you know, putting a little further ahead kind of thing, not rushing into this thing. We'll get the build up a little bit longer, and interesting things ought to come from it. Looking forward to that one. From there, we got a Mods Kruger promo. And while I like the design of Mods Kruger's promos and everything like that, what he is saying makes sense. Damn it, if the audio isn't just a little bit so dark that you almost can't hear it, and it kind of takes away from it a little bit at this point for me.
Yeah, I find that too. And when MLW first did the restart, they were featuring Kruger pretty heavily, and we got to see some of his matches, which are the best part. Obviously, we want to see this big monster in his matches, but we really have only got those dark, muffled promos, as you were saying. And yeah, we need some more Mads Kruger in action, I think, and we just haven't seen any since those first couple of weeks of the restart. We haven't seen him since the Backlay brawl, I suppose, when they fought out in that scrapyard or whatever it was in the middle of the night. So, again, I don't know if they're talented doing shots in other companies or something, but we just haven't had Mads Kruger in the house in a while now, and I think we need him. I'd like to see more of him.
Yeah, again, more action out of this guy, less talk, that's for sure. So from there, we got another promo heavy tonight. So Tom Lawler promo, talking about the Von Erichs, and he basically getting to pick a matchup between Team Filthy versus, as we've said it, the Von Erichs and ACH, and he gets to pick the stipulation, and he picks a chain rope matchup. I'm not sure if I've ever heard of or seen a chain rope match. I mean, I can only assume what a chain rope match is. I don't know, Pop Smokes, if you remember any from the past that you can talk about?
No, I do not. This one's a first on me, too. I realize there have been a lot of wacky stipulation matches in the past, but this one's a first. I kind of had to figure out in my mind, and it really wasn't until I watched it later on that I realized what they were talking about. But again, it'll be fun for the fans, and another feud match. So yeah, it works for having a stipulation match.
Yeah, and when we get to that matchup, we'll talk more about it. A lot of talking in that one, definitely, for sure. So we'll get there at a different episode. But then after that one, main event time. So it's this triple threat, no DQ matchup between three teams for the MLW Tag Team Champions. We got Injustice, Myron Reed, and Jordan Oliver. We've got Contra Unit consisting of Daivari as well as Simon Gotch. And then we've got Los Parks, that's LA Park, and Nilo de LA Park teaming up. And again, this becomes no DQ. So right away, you got to imagine, why would the Parks even consider only using two guys in this matchup? You got a no DQ situation. Right away, this is three dudes in one unit. I mean, you knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. The Parks don't care if there is a ref or there isn't a ref, or there is rules or aren't rules. They're going to have that third guy anyway. So turning this to a no disqualification even just frees them up to do more. You know my thoughts about triple threat matches. We've talked about them on here before and off the air too. And I don't like them. I think it's one of those kinds of matches where really you should only use it if you've painted yourself into a corner somehow. But they seem to be being more frequently used in all the companies' triple threat matches, and it's just, I suppose it's a way to insert another part of talent into that match and get them some exposure. But I really find them as a viewer to be a mess usually. And this one was definitely that.
Yeah, I agree, man. It was a mess. I don't want to rag on MLW. Love MLW, love the participants, but there was a lot that wasn't good about this matchup. I did not enjoy it. It was very busy, first of all, so it was hard to keep the control of what was going on, what we should focus on. Then I got a note. Again, you had a match that originally wasn't scheduled for no DQ, so there was no disqualification match on the entire card when this thing was originally booked. So my question is, why are there pizza pans under the ring? Why are there kendo sticks under the ring? And all these things that would get brought in a fans bring the weapons match or some sort of gimmicked match like that. But this had no intention for a no DQ match. And yet these things conveniently happen to be under a wrestling ring of all things. It's questionable. And I think it was a bad decision.
Yeah, it's a little breakdown in logic. And I mean, for any of these no disqualification matches, if people are going to look under the ring, I believe the items under there should be items that would be under a wrestling ring. And there are lots of bludgeoning type weapons that you can find under a ring, including 2x4s and other prying tools and such like that, that can be used as weapons without having to have cooking sheets and kendo sticks and other things that just wouldn't have, or would have no reason to be under a ring. Yeah. I'm sorry if I'm splitting hairs here, but I do look at the logic of booking all the time. I can't help it. And that one seems kind of wacky to me, but hey, you know, like, this is pro wrestling. There's going to be some wackiness and some silliness sometimes. And I still enjoyed this match. It was a mess to watch, but like, I like the talent in it. So I got into this, but definitely some silliness in the booking area.
Yeah. And then also there's the dive, the cooperative dive over the top ropes that we've been fearing coming to MLW. We've been seeing signs of it coming, and it happened on more than one occasion in this particular matchup. And we're going to see more of it coming up on MLW here soon too.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it just seems to be the way it is nowadays. You try to make the argument with most people and it's like, well, it's wrestling. It's like, yeah, I get that it's wrestling, but it doesn't have to look like you're waiting for something to happen all the time. I mean, the logic behind it is to make this look like a simulated competition, a fight or something like that. I mean, I'm going to fight with somebody. I hate to say it. I'm not waiting around for their ass to dive off something. I'm getting the fuck out of the way or something of the sort. I'm not waiting for them to come at me. I want them hurt because I want to win this fight.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, MLW isn't so bad for it, but some companies are pretty bad for doing the same spots in every single match. Kind of takes away the specialness of them or the power of them. And I mean, I always think of it in terms of music. It's like you have a whole album, but every single song you play the same guitar solo. It doesn't make sense and it's not entertaining, and your fans are going to get tired of that same guitar solo. So you got to switch it up a little bit, like give the fans something new and something fun, and yet you can still use the same batch of moves over and over again. But I think just if you can not do the same spots every single match, then they mean more when you do use them.
Yeah, definitely, man. And like we said, like, the talent in this matchup was good. There was some nice spots that you got to see in there because there is talented people involved. But yeah, all in all, just not something I loved, did not enjoy. And as I was watching, I'm thinking, damn it, Pop Smokes and I are going to be on the same page here. I don't think we're going to love this one, and we're going to have to actually, you know, give a bit of a thumbs down to something on an MLW show. I mean, it happens occasionally. Again, it's not enough to ever turn away and say, we're not going to watch it, because you know what? They do great 99% of the time. There's that 1%, and there it was in this match. Not for us, unfortunately. But hey, otherwise, the rest of the show, great. Love the buildup, everything about it. Everything was working well, just didn't do it for me in the main event.
Yeah, and I think it still showed that there was heat between these three teams. Like, I think that was the whole idea, is to say, let's show this tag team division, let's show the top tag teams we have in it, and just let them go at it and show that there's heat between them, show that they can brawl, show that the belts are important, that the participants all really want that gold really bad. So, I mean, there's that side of it too. Just as a match, yeah, it didn't quite do it for me, but that's fine. They can still have matches like that push the narrative of the tag team division along.
Yeah, exactly. And it made Los Parks look strong as the tag champs as well, too. Another win under their belts. So that's where we go with this episode of MLW Fusion. Anything else to add to this one, Papa Smokes?
No, not really. But just again, it's the slow build towards the pay-per-view, so to speak. Never say never. And then we got one more show of build before the actual pay-per-view. So let's get into that.
Yeah, we definitely will. But we'll get right into that one right now here. So MLW Fusion episode 126, just going to readjust myself, been sitting for a while already. Episode 126 kicked off, and as you said, a build up to Never Say Never on this one. So we started this one off with Yosef Samael giving another one of his awesome, fantastic promos. Loved every bit of this one. He's talking about injustice, building up for Never Say Never. Man, this guy should always be on a microphone because he is damn good at it.
He's so creative and he's so convincing in his delivery. You can see that he's inspired by the old chic Eddie Farhat, and his delivery is just fantastic. I like the way he doesn't just threaten his Contra's opponents in the ring. He's telling us straight up, Calvin Tankman's execution is imminent. Like the fierceness of those words just is awesome to bring it like that to wrestling. So serious. And that's what a lot of promos lack nowadays. Yosef Samael has it.
Yeah, he really does. And I don't know if it's this promo. I can't quite remember if it's the one he does at Never Say Never, where he starts talking about ungrateful Americans and they're walking around with their $1,000 cell phones and all this kind of shit. I just loved it. Every bit of it was just fantastic, man. So a great way to kick off MLW 126. Then we go right into the matchups, and we're talking about Gino Medina versus our boy Zenshi. Holy shit, Papa Smoke. Yeah, what a Zenshi. Great way to start this night off.
All right.
So Gino Medina, we've liked what we've seen from him. He's been getting this push as he's come back into MLW, really kind of leaning towards something with Richard Holiday. But first, he's got to go through our boy Zenshi. And once again, Zenshi just looks like a million bucks. And I think they said on commentary here about how Zenshi has taken a bit of a blend of Lucha Libre style along with the kind of style that he would have learned back in his home country. I believe he's from Colombia or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought they said Chile.
Yeah, Chile. Okay, yeah, Santiago, Chile. That's correct. Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, he took some of what he learned over in Santiago, Chile, blended with this Lucha Libre style. And man, he makes it logical. He makes it fun. And he looks sharper and sharper every single time we see him. I mean, we could go on again forever about Zenshi, but I mean, obviously, this was going to be enjoyable. And then there's Gino Medina. This kid looks like a million bucks, Papa Smokes. He looks like someone you could push as a star. He definitely has got age on his side. I mean, he's got to be a young kid. He looks like a young kid right now, but he's just got that look. He looks good. He looks like he's going to be a tough guy moving forward down the road, but he also looks like he could be a little bit sneaky, a little bit conniving, and do the things that it takes to win a matchup. And I like what I see in here so far.
Yeah, I really think Gino Medina is one of the wrestlers they should really push as much as they can for his young age at this time. I think he's got the look. I think he's got the skills. I haven't even seen that many of his matches, but I just have a feeling about this guy, especially like you said, he looks like a smarmy little prick. He's got the sunglasses and the slick back hair and the little man bun and everything. He makes you want to slap him already. And that's a good thing. He doesn't even have to open his mouth. You just look at this guy and you want to slap his face. So that's a solid gold heel right there. And I also like that he has it in his delivery that he's all about the maintaining the respect of the past and the luchadors and stuff. We saw the problems he had with Gringo Loco, didn't like his name, didn't like any him using the Mexican lucha style as an American. And you can see in this match against Zenshi, Medina just doesn't like it that Zenshi's wearing a mask. You can tell that he doesn't think he deserves it. We'll see it at towards the end of this match. He tries to pull the mask off with various repercussions after that. But I think Medina's really looking good as a future star in MLW.
Yeah, and he picks up this win over Zenshi, but, you know, Zenshi looked strong a few times that I kind of thought this might have been that time, but back in my mind, I knew better. I knew that they're pushing Gino Medina, and Zenshi's a logical person to get in the ring to make him look good while still not ever making himself look bad. He's fantastic at that. I like the one spot, too, where Gino Medina was running like he was going to jump to the outside while Zenshi was out there, and Zenshi kind of jumped up. He did that sweep kick to Gino's legs from the outside to the inside, took him out like that. That was just great fun. Love it.
Zenshi's everything he could want in a preliminary talent. He puts his opponents over very, very well, makes himself look good at the same time. He's everything he could want in a preliminary talent.
Yeah, loving it. Gino Medina picks up a big win here, but, you know, both guys looking strong. Great way to go. Okay, we're going to pause for one sec here, dude. I saw a Roberto message, so I'm just going to tell him to give us a little bit here. He says he just eaten. No problem. We need 25, 30 minutes anyway. All right, that's set up. I'll edit this part of the video out.
Well, you got a beer? Oh, damn it,
Bunsen. Oh, yeah, of course, man. Why not? So, yeah, fuck. All right, where we were done, Gino. And I'm just trying to
Gringo,
get to where we were again.
Yeah, Gringo versus Mill. Like, well, Lawler's promo with Alicia, or at least Alicia announced that Lawler was injured and not going to be able to fight.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's Gringo versus Mill is where we're at first, though. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So ready to go.
No worries.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So from there, the second match of the night took place. So getting kind of back to back matches on this night, Gringo Loco against Mill Muertes. And I kind of felt sorry for Gringo Loco going into this one. You know he's going to get an ass kicking. But, hey, he fared pretty decently in the matchup, held his own. I guess it helps that he's probably comfortable with the Lucha Libre style that Mill Muertes would have been trained in initially and everything like that. And I think that it was able to give us a reasonably decent matchup. I think maybe this one went on longer than I expected it would for a Mill Muertes versus Gringo Loco match. I think that there would have been a great opportunity to make Mill look even stronger here in absolutely dominating and destroying Gringo Loco, especially, you know, I mean, I loved when he went on the tag when Gringo was doing his little flippy shit there at the beginning, kind of showing off and everything like that. I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Because, I mean, you got a monster like Mill Muertes feeling fine right behind you. Why are you flipping around and dancing for the nobody that's there? And then Mill Muertes went on that attack and beat the piss out of him right there. I loved that. And I love the spot when he put Gringo Loco onto the middle rope, walked away to distract the ref, and Selena grabs Gringo Loco around the face and just gives him what for. Those were probably the best spots of the entire match, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny about Mill Muertes, too. You were saying, like, he was for sure trained as a luchador at some point, but he doesn't really wrestle like one. I mean, no. He's pretty much just brawling. He's such a huge guy that the flip game isn't going to work for him. Maybe he used to. I don't know. But he's so big and so muscular now that, yeah, that's just unnecessary for Mill. So it's just brawling. I like his style. He's a roughhouse wrestler. Hard punches, hard kicks, spears. High impact moves and Gringo Loco didn't have a hope in hell in this one, but it still went 7.5 minutes. So Loco used to be a talent that they pushed sometimes. Now he seems to be more preliminary talent. He takes a lot of losses now, but it took Muertes 7.5 minutes to get the pinfall. Not too bad. Loco not looking horrible in this match, and Muertes coming out stronger than ever. Good match. Did what it wanted to do.
Yeah, it accomplished a lot. I enjoyed it personally. So just give me one more sec here, man. All right. So Okay. From there, we got some breaking news backstage. We went to Alicia Toot talking about Filthy Tom Lawler, and basically he's not okay to be in the main event matchup here tonight. So the breaking news, Tom Lawler out, ACH is out, and the main event is now going to be a tag team match, the Von Erichs versus Violence Forever. Thoughts on that decision right there?
Hardly surprising, really, when you think of Tom Lawler. He's going to find a way to cowardly get out of a match sometimes. And I don't know if you believe him, Munson, but I don't really believe him. He's going to be running around with a sling on and stuff, too. I think it's all mental games against the Von Erichs. He's frustrating them. He's pissing them off. He's not giving them what they want, which is to get their hands on their enemy, Lawler. And I think he's smart in the way he does this stuff. And he's frustrating them and really pissing them off badly.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I know that it's a dirty game that he's playing. And again, I was like, I kept thinking that this 3 versus 3 was going to be built up for Never Say Never or a pay-per-view type card, not given away on Fusion. So when I heard this, I was like, something says it's not going to go down this way. It's not going to end up going the 3 versus 3 that they're announcing it for. It just seems like there's going to be some shenanigans at play. But hey, we get Violence is Forever versus the Von Erichs in the main event. So I'm not going to complain. This is a great matchup by the looks of it.
Yeah. I'm going to enjoy this too.
So from there, we had Calvin Tankman, I believe, had a little bit of a promo there, and he's building up for his main event matchup at Never Say Never, going against Jacob Fatu, the champion. Tankman's very passionate in his promos. Again, not too crazy about his choice of promos, just because, again, it's the same thing we've heard from so many guys recently. I've got a daughter, I've got a family, I'm fighting for the money. That whole shtick has been done so much in recent memory from professional wrestling that I get it. That's, of course, why you're always in a professional wrestling company. You want to be the champion. Of course you want to be the champion. So I think he could leave it at that. He doesn't need to start dragging the daughter talk into it like so many have done before him. Just go out there and say, I came here for one reason and one reason only. I want to be the champ. And to do that, I got to beat Fatu. Time to go do it. So,
yeah, sure. They're trying to bring the people in with some sympathy too, I think, like to make them like that everyman thing we were talking about. He's a dude like any other dude that has a daughter and has kids that he wants to take care of and stuff. But yeah, I can agree with you too, that it's maybe extraneous. It's maybe unnecessary. Look at the guy. Like, he doesn't really need a reason to go after the MLW Heavyweight Championship. He's a huge, intense dude in the ring. Like, I think it could be left at that too, but yeah, we have Tankman. He's a married man with kids. He's going to support them. So that's his motivation. There we go.
Yeah, and we're going to get to see that on the Never Say Never pay-per-view. Should be a good match. From there, we had the PWI top 5 tag teams announced. And again, I start to believe that there just isn't enough tag teams in MLW when you see the list. Number 5, the Dirty Blondes. Again, I keep wondering, where the fuck are they? We've seen them twice since this whole thing started. I mean, it's interesting. They keep making this top 5 tag list, and yet we have not seen it or even heard about what the progression for the Dirty Blondes will be. Hopefully, there's still something in the works, and they will be returning. Contra Unit making it number 4, great selection. Then Injustice, Violence Forever, the Von Erichs, and then the tag team champs, Los Parks. I mean, I guess that with the Dirty Blondes, the only argument is there anybody else? Like, maybe that's why that they're making this list. And again, we will maybe see them, and there will be a lot from them yet to come.
Yeah, they were, when we saw the Dirty Blondes earlier in their 2 matches, they were also saying that they were part of the Stud Stable with Robert Fuller. And I was curious about that too, because of course, Robert Fuller has had that Stud Stable in WCW and various other companies too, and sometimes he can assemble a pretty good faction of rule breakers or heel wrestlers. So I was curious to see where this would go, and we've never heard a peep from it since. So plans change, especially in the times of COVID, and maybe we just don't have the Dirty Blondes or the Stud Stable available to MLW at this time.
Yeah, and unfortunately, because that, again, would be something interesting, or maybe it's something they're saving for what's coming up down the road. A lot of big plans in place for MLW as they're starting to reveal now. So, again, there's going to be a lot of need for a lot of talent here coming up soon. I'm sure of it. From there, we got the announcement TJP has been fined $2,500 for the attack on Buku Dao. We're going to get a update and hear from Buku Dao on the next episode of MLW Fusion, which I assume is going to be a couple weeks from now or whatever it is, just past the Never Say Never pay-per-view. We're going to get that update on Buku Dao. And then again, maybe look forward to having that matchup coming up with TJP. But in the meantime, TJP, find the money, give him the slap on the wrist here for his attack on his former partner.
Yeah, it's not exactly a big money fine when you think about it, but TJP, yeah, he'll pay it, he'll laugh, but he's going to pay Buku Dao something back too, I kind of expected this blow-off match to come up on Never Say Never, but I don't think it's signed for Never Say Never, so I guess at some point in the future, we don't know the situation with Buku Dao. I assume he's not actually injured, but possibly is from something else in training or a different match or something. We don't know the reality behind this. So we'll just trust that this feud is going to come to a head at some point in the near future in MLW.
Yeah, looking forward to it when it does. After that, we got right back into in-ring action. We had the Sentai Death Squad member against Calvin Tankman. And again, by the name I just gave him, we knew exactly what was going to happen in this matchup. It was always designed for Calvin Tankman to absolutely destroy this guy. I mean, it was one and done, Papa Smokes. It was there. It was what it needed to be. Tankman looking strong. And then the story unfolds after that, I think, is where the match really kind of kicks off. Is that?
Yeah.
The Contra members, when they decided to show up, I think that's when things really picked up.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, when a match is a minute long, that the segment is going to be longer than that. So there's going to be a dust up after the match or whatever. And after this quick win against Sentai Death Squad, Contra attacks. And then now Injustice is out there to fight too, backing up their new friend Calvin Tankman. And Tankman hit a hell of a driver on Daivari there. Did you see that one, Munson? Wow.
With authority looked on that stiff, one.
Looked good. I don't think Daivari was hurt or anything, but it looked good.
Yeah, oh, yeah, man. It was awesome. And, I mean, we keep talking about the dives over the top rope. I mean, at least Calvin Tankman's was a little bit calculated when the Contra members all walked in together at the same time. He saw it, he ran and jumped over and took the three of them out with his 300-and-something pound ass. I mean, that was a little bit more cool because they weren't waiting on it. They were walking at the exact moment.
Yeah.
Tankman jumped into it, and, yeah, it didn't look as cooperative as what some of these dives tend to do.
And it was by surprise too. Rather than the attackers that are coming from backstage, they're coming, but he saw them coming and got them already. There's a believability to that Tankman had to know, having a short match like that, these guys are going to jump me afterwards and try and weaken me before my match against Fatu. And he read it like a book, and it started off that brawl nicely.
Yeah, and again, this was a good way to kind of like give everybody out there that's going to be involved in Never Say Never, the matches that were announced. Again, we're going to see Simon Gotch versus Jordan Oliver, Myron Reed taking on Daivari, and then in the main event, Calvin Tankman versus Jacob Fatu. So again, it was a good way to bring all those guys out there at once, do that build. It is kind of technically the go-home show that everybody talks about when there's a big pay-per-view coming up. This was the go-home for Never Say Never. Good way to build up the guys being involved. I liked it. Great segment.
Yeah. As we said, did its job, did what it was supposed to do, get the viewer and the fan ready for the big show, and just tie up all the storylines, make sure everybody knows what's going on, who's mad at who before the big show. And that's exactly what these last two episodes did, in fact, I think. And all done up nicely. The booking done, tied up with a nice red bow on top. No problems with logic or anything like that. I think Court Bauer and his team doing a great job of this, and he had me looking forward to the pay-per-view. I keep calling it a pay-per-view, the big show anyway. I'm used to that, but it has the viewers and the fans looking forward to this stuff. The build-up's been good. No questions, no ambiguities, no nothing, just ready for some fights.
Yeah, and man, it's awesome. We're at a great build. From there, we had a quick Von Erichs promo talking about the main event coming up tonight, basically laying it down about how much of a weasel Tom Lawler is and that they're ready to go out there and take on the Team of Violence forever. So we're going to get that coming right up. Selena then cut a promo. Again, she's laying it down that Mil Muertes is accepting. There will be this title fight for the Openweight Championship. So the Openweight Championship going to be defended in a couple, I believe it's the 2 weeks after Never Say Never is when we're going to actually get to see that matchup happen. It's going to be for the Openweight Championship. Mil Muertes taking on Alexander Hammerstone. Man, I'm looking forward to this one, Papa Smokes. That is going to be a great day.
Yeah, I agreed with that too. This feud has been brought up nicely. I like the way they're both huge, muscular guys. This is going to be a clash of brawling, of good wrestling, and then the sort of human element of jealousy and greed that's been brought in here by Mil Muertes and Selena De La Renta stealing the Openweight Championship belt from Hammerstone. There's heat there. Hammer doesn't like that. Like, what a crappy thing to do in wrestling. Or can you imagine someone doing that in boxing, just stealing the belt and saying, well, it's mine now because I took it. Like, that's a greasy, greasy, cowardly move. And Hammerstone doesn't like it. And it's going to make for a great match, I think.
Not at all. And yet, at the same time, you kind of wonder, does Mads Kruger end up showing up at some point here? And, you know, I mean, he's been lurking. We haven't even settled the things with Hammerstone and Mads Kruger. So I think Hammerstone's got to watch his back. I mean, he's getting in deep with some really big, tough boys here. And, I mean, Mil Muertes one-on-one is going to be tough enough. But when you've got all of Contra that are against you, you've got all of the team that Selena's putting together, and who knows what other surprises her or even Yosef Samael have been conjuring up in the meantime that they could throw at Hammerstone at any time. He's getting in deep, man, and I'm worried about his championship reign.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mads Kruger. That seemed to be the main reason that Contra brought him in, was just as a roadblock against Hammerstone, between Hammerstone and Fatu. So you know that we mentioned we haven't seen Kruger in a few weeks now, but that's his entire purpose in MLW, I think, is just to keep Hammerstone away from Fatu. And I'm quite sure he's going to show up right when we least expect it and when Hammerstone least expects it. Maybe while he's distracted trying to get his other belt back, Mads Kruger will show up. We will see, but I'm pretty sure we haven't seen the last of Mads Kruger.
Definitely not, man. He's on his way back, I'm sure of it. From there, though, it's main event time, Papa Smokes. We've got this tag team match. It's the Team of Violence is Forever against the Von Erich boys. And this one, the chain rope matchup. The ropes were all removed, replaced with chain link chains, I guess. I don't know how much purpose I saw in the chain ropes in the end, especially knowing what I know about how a wrestling rope kind of goes together and what it feels like to bounce off one in the first place. I was kind of thinking to myself, I don't know that I would be so against bouncing off the chain rope as much as I would be off of the regular wrestling ropes, because those things, those wires underneath that electrical tape that holds a wrestling rope together, they fucking hurt. They really do. The chain ropes, though, I mean, again, great selling by these guys when they were actually hitting them and stuff like that. And especially the Von Erichs a few times when they're tossed into the chain ropes and they just kind of let their bodies fall in the natural way that they would fall running into chain ropes. They didn't try to dive around them or spin around them. They just went with it. They went with the flow and whatever happened, happened. I liked to see that. And again, these two teams, I think I would have enjoyed just watching a tag match between these guys in a regular stipulation. I enjoyed it. It was decent. It was a good main event. Again, the chain ropes just didn't add anything extra for me is all.
Yeah. And one of the things the commentators brought up early in this match was check out the corners. There's no turnbuckles. They can't put a turnbuckle there. If the chains are there, it's just the post and the chains. And I thought, oh, shit, here we go. This is going to be good. Somebody's going to get busted open in the corner. But then the guys didn't really use the corners so much as a spot. So I don't know. It struck me as a little bit silly, this step. I thought the ring looked cool with the chains on there. Like, it looked badass. But ultimately, I think it was just a little bit of a case of bells and whistles to kind of make this match look a little bit more exciting or something. I don't really think it needed it, to be honest. But still, we ended up with a good match out of it. Lawler, despite his injury, coming to the ring with his sling and everything and smiling and shit-talking everybody. And you know he's not actually injured, but he does such a good job of being a weaselly heel that it's very amusing and everything. And then, of course, his early interference led to Violence's Forever taking the advantage in this match for a long time, for the first half of the match, for sure. And I'm starting to get more interested in Guarini and Ku's tag team style and grappling style. I like the way they do that. I guess in MLW, they call it fusion wrestling, where it's a mix of MMA kind of thing. And those guys know some good jujitsu holds and some good transitions. And they still look like a little bit mildly uncomfortable with the pro wrestling style, I think. But that's coming along, and I've even noticed just in the short time I've been watching Ku and Guarini, they're improving quickly in that. I like their style. I like to watch this match, and even in a brawl like this, they had some good submission holds and some good mat grappling.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. They are coming along quite nicely. I liked some of the work here and some of the double team work too. They're starting to get the idea of using that tag element of it and stuff like that, which was nice to see. And yeah, man, the whole, especially Kevin Ku, like, man, that guy can put on some interesting submissions maneuvers that I'm really starting to enjoy. Guarini, I mean, it makes me laugh. I started to have a bit of a chuckle, and I'm thinking, I'm like, Guarini looks like what I do when I wear shorts and no t-shirt sometimes. So, I mean, I guess he could call him an everyman in some sense, that word, except for the only difference is he could kick the shit out of me with one hand tied behind his back, and I might be able to drink a beer or two better than him. That's about it.
Yeah, he's not a body guy in the least, but he's a knowledge guy. That's the thing. He doesn't need the big muscles. He knows all the judo and jujitsu transitions, and I think Guarini has embraced his image nicely. You notice he got the mullet going pretty early on there, and he looks more comfortable with it all the time. I wasn't sure I was going to like this guy when I first started watching, but I'm getting into it now, and he plays the cowardly heel quite well. I like it.
Yeah, that'll be good to see. I love the development. I mean, it's going to be good development over time. I hope these guys stick with it, and they stick with it in MLW in particular, because I think great things will happen to them over there. So, but that rounded up our night with the Von Erichs picking up the big victory over Violence is Forever. A great solid match. Both teams coming out looking great, and the Von Erichs still looking strong, you know, looking to build towards eventually, you know, eliminating this feud, putting it behind them, and going back after the tag titles, especially once that whole dispute's kind of finalized between the three teams fighting over that right now. I'm sure the Von Erich boys are going to be right back in that title hunt here soon.
Yeah, and they're clear baby faces too. The most fun part of their next tag team reign will be watching them chase it for a while. It'll be good.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So anyway, that wraps up Ring Respect Radio. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Again, give us a subscribe, turn on notifications, check us out through Backbreaker, check us out on Podbean and every other channel you can check us out on now. And also on the Canadian Wrestling Network, I wanted to mention that, Backbreaker Media, that is done an agreement with the Canadian Wrestling Network. So right on their website, all on their social media, you can find myself and Papa Smokes and all episodes of Ring Respect Radio through the Canadian Wrestling Network. So wonderful there. Loving to see this build that we're doing here with the podcast, and great to finally test out technology or Papa Smokes. A couple older guys like us finally figuring it out. So it's been great to see you, man. We're going to end it right there. And thank you for tuning in. We'll see you again soon.